Now, I'd like to turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. We've got lots of scriptures tonight, so you can get your Bibles out and go with us here if you wish. According as to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named. Verse 6, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and what is the length and what is the depth and what is the height. You know, we've got a lot of getting in some depths and heights and lengths. And we've got a lot of things to get in there. And then he says in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now he is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think, but it's got a clause in there that said according to the power that works in you. If we're not got to the place where the power of God can work in us, then we're not to the place where we have that fullness that can overflow. John 7:38 said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. I want to tell you, when the Holy Ghost was given, there's water flows from it. There's rivers flows from it. It's not supposed to be a little trickle. It's not supposed to be a little spring. It's not a well. It's not a cistern. It's rivers that flow. When we're full of the things of God, how many know that we need some rivers flowing today? And there's a qualification there. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's read that again, John. Let's go to John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, now for a believer, out of the belly shall flow rivers of what? Not a dead stream, but living water. This spake he of what? The Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. Why? Because the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. So when the Holy Ghost was given, the rivers started flowing from out of people that were filled with the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And what did he say here? To know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with fullness of God. And now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. What is the power that works in us? You know, people act today like the Holy Ghost that was in Jesus is different than the Holy Ghost that we've got. That's the same Holy Ghost, church. The same Holy Ghost that's in Jesus is in me. Amen. And all we've got to do is get to the place we can release this. Grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And that's what God's trying to get the church to do, to grow up. There needs to be some growing in the church. It seems to me like the church is dying because they're not getting the life and the power. And how many knows it's not the might, it's not the power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The anointing is what does it. Acts 10:38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So if we're doing what God tells us to, we're doing good. Somebody said today, somebody seen somebody, said, how you doing? Said, well, I'm doing good. If you got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost don't do evil. The Holy Ghost, if you're full of the Word of God, you're going to be doing something good. How God anointed Jesus, His own Son, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing what? Good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now without the Spirit, we're dead. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Let's start right there and read a few verses there. I think I can quote them pretty well, so I don't even turn there. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we'll go through verse 6. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are what? That are in Christ Jesus. Then it tells all about that. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we've got to get in the Spirit. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, that is weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in who? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that what? They that are after the flesh, what? Do mind the things of the flesh. And he goes on in verse 6 and he said, but to be carnally minded, that's fleshly mind, to be carnally minded is what? Well, who wants to have death? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. Church, I come to a place one time that I either had life and peace or it would have been death. A death, you know, spiritual death is just as bad, if not worse, it's worse than a physical death. So God wants us to walk alive in the Spirit. You know, because in Him we live. And we move, and we have our being. So, now what is it that causes us to walk after the flesh? Let me tell you what it is. It's the world. The thing that most people are dabbling with today is their enemy. They're serving their own enemy. They're serving their own death. So let's get into that just a little bit. Here, the death. Be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, and it is peace. John had something to say about this, and I got on that there last night about us. How many remembers that? Us? How many remembers us? Who is us? Us is the ones that's joined together in the Spirit and in the Word of God. That's us. But who are they? Let me give you a real good scripture on that. Romans 1:28. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God turned them over to a reprobate mind. Who was that? That was they. They. Just turn your Bible to John now, and let's get the world and they and us kind of straightened out here. You know, us is joined together in the Spirit, and then we can say us. You know, a husband and wife don't say us until they get married, do they? Then it's up. Now, it's not your house anymore, it's their house. And when we really get down to business and get tied in with God, then we're part of us. And we're brothers and sisters all together as us. Us. And let's take a look here just a minute here. And verse 15 of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, here we go again with that flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This other stuff's going to pass away. It's not going to be around too long. But they that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now here he ties in something, and I want you to get this, these next two verses here. And it really separates who is us and who is they. Let's look at it. Now let's go to verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. How many believes we're right? This is the last time. It's the last day. There is no doubt in my mind now. You know, people will say, well, I've heard that preached all my life. Don't kid yourself. It's over. This thing is all, it's over. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come even now. Now, I want you to notice, John said, even now there are many Antichrists. Do you ever think about there's a lot of Antichrists? See, the Antichrist works with the Spirit just like God works with the Spirit. The Antichrist has a body just like Jesus has a body. One's good, and the other's bad. And John said there's a lot of Antichrists around now. That's people that don't have the Spirit of God. They're anti. You know, there are people that's unbelievers. Well, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. I don't believe in shouting. I don't believe in crying. I like what the brother said today. I'm like you, brother. I have to have my eyes drenched with water every now and then from tears falling from my eyes. Then I know I've cleaned up because it cleans me out. It cleans my, and it gets rid of all the junk that I've had to put up with all day in my mind. How many of those preachers have it rough sometimes? You got everybody saying this and everybody saying that and everybody wants you at the same time. You'll have a funeral going one day and a marriage the next day. Huh? You ever think about what a preacher does? But let's go on with this. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are they many Antichrists, plural, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, I've never known of a time since I've been preaching, and I've been in the ministry 56 years, and I've never known of a time that there's so many antichrist spirits as there are now. You just name Christ and everything goes well. They start marching around with their signs up, you know. Antichrist sign. You know, they're for abortion, they're for homosexuality. They're for all these kind of things, and any kind of a political kind of thing. And I'll tell you what, we're living in one of the most dangerous times. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of their own self. And we're living in that time, and we got to get ready for it. That's what God's telling me, Brother Flannery, to get out here and start preaching this, because we're going to have to preach it. We may get thrown in jail for preaching it. Somebody said in the United States, yes, in the United States of America, that we fought in World War II to get it free, and that our forefathers have fought battles and battles throughout the time and for freedom, and we're going to be maybe tied up with bondage. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to believe, and we're going to have to do what God tells us to do. And it's going to take maturity from here on. See, babies are nice. But you know, a person's been in church 30 years, they ought to be a baby. They ought to be able to pray themselves out of their problem. They ought to have the victory. They ought to have the power of God. You see, there's nothing to hinder you. And how many knows it's for whosoever will? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will, that we will not perish, but that we have everlasting life. And it's not just for me. It's not just for you. It's for whosoever will. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water. And that it springs up in us then as the rivers of living water. I get a drink of that every day, and it just sets the river off on the inside of me. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing when we really know how to get a hold of God and how to let him use us instead of us trying to use him. I've never seen a time when people want to use God so much they don't want to let God use them at all. Now listen, let's go back to this. Antichrist shall come even now. Are there many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time? Now, I want you to listen. If you'll notice, the last few years, there's been an awful lot of people shuffling around from different churches, changing their Bibles and changing their way of worship and changing this and changing that and changing something else. Were the same crowd that used to believed and worshiped in a different way and everything, and that was when all the power was for. See, I like to examine things. I don't believe Jesus changed. Hebrews 13:8 said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. He said, I change not. He's not going to change. Now you might change, but he's not going to change. We're going to have to make it in our mind that because somebody changed something and they feel good about it, that's going to be all right. No, the flesh may feel good about it. There's a whole lot of things going on in church that is appeasing to the flesh. But it's destructive to the spirit. So listen to me. Let's get down to, here's the meat of it. They went out from us. Who was it went out from? The ones with the Antichrist spirit. They didn't have the right spirit. They went out from us, but they were not of us. I go to talk to some of these people that have a great big church, you know, they're going to, and they're just sitting there. Paying their tithes and said, oh, we got 2,000 in church. And oh, we built this, we built that, and we built that. And I talked to them a little while, and I say, where did you get saved at? Oh, I got saved in that little country church over there, someplace or other. And you're out there sitting with 2,000 people doing nothing, paying your tithes, dumping your money and something like that. And you're sitting out there and sitting there doing nothing. What with all the other do-nothings? How many of those do-nothings create the other do-nothings? We're in a day and time when most people don't want to do nothing. Amen. I'll tell you what, they need to get up and begin to do something. That's where God wants us. He wants us doing. He wants us working for Him. And this is what He said. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Well, who were they? For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. You know, when I read that and really got the full meaning of that, I realized that in my early ministry, I run and chased after people that God didn't want in the church. And I'd go out and gather them up and bring them back. And then they cause trouble again. How many knows what church trouble is? Everybody ought to know what church trouble is. Has anybody here ever went to a church and had no problem? Somebody said to me one day, he said, I'm hunting church, they ain't got no problem. I said, you'll find it in heaven.
Amen.
The rest of the time you're going to have to work with the problem, help with the problem, help get rid of the problem, get with the pastor, get with the elders in the church, get it all fixed, because you're going to have problems. The devil is he does that. He causes these problems. Now let's go back down here. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that were not of all of us. So they went out, so it pointed them out that they wasn't of us. Wouldn't it say, for instance, this sister's pastor in church, if somebody gets all hacked up and goes out from us, you know they're not going to tell how good you are. Boy, I left that church because it was so good. No, they're going to go out there and say, I left that church because it was no good. I'll never go back to that church again. You see, it's that church here. But now when the church is booming and everybody's having a good time, our church is doing well. And the ones that says that the most is somebody that's doing nothing. Our church is doing well. Our church is doing well. I'll tell you what, we need to get people that's working in the church and get full of the Holy Ghost that can pray that devil out of this. Not get rid of the people, but get rid of the devil that's trying to destroy them.
Amen.
I guess all of this is all right. Who is us? We don't have to go any further than 2 Peter chapter 1. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1. And the first verse tells you who us is. And now Peter's writing his farewell message here. This is the lad, he said, on down in this book, he said that soon he must put off his tabernacle, or he's got to die. He's going to die. So he's writing a book for those like us. And this is what he says, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with, how many got that? He identified it. If we've got that like precious faith that he had, then we're identified with the us crowd. We ought to be on our us side, hadn't we?
That's right.
You see, when one member suffers, what happens in the church? We all suffer, so we can't say that person suffered. No, us is suffering. If we're part of that body, we'll suffer. And we're going to have to learn that regardless of what we think, we're going to have to learn that we're belong to the us crowd. And it began in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. God said, let us make man in our own image. So there's your us starting of us. Huh? How many knows the heavenly and Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost? That's us. We've got the heavenly realm around us. We're part of the us. Peter said, them that have obtained like precious faith with us. So he identified himself and John and James and different ones that traveled with them and Jesus as us. So what identification should we have? Us. See, I live in Missouri. He lives in Maryland, and you live in Pennsylvania. That doesn't have anything to do with the body of Christ. It's us. We're in the same body. The body of Christ. The us Christ. You know, I don't care who's got what kind of card in their pocket. I'm not out trying to get people to join this and join that, join something else. What I'm out here to do is to try to get people to recognize what us means and what they mean. Now, they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, so God turned them over to a reprobate mind. And then 2 Peter goes on down and he says, verse 2 said, grace, peace, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Now, let's go to work on the next verse, verse 3. According as his divine power. How many of you, he's got the power. According as his divine power has given unto us. Oh, and I like that, don't you? Well, I like to know what he give us. I don't want it all for myself. I want you to have part of it too. That's why I'm preaching that us ought to have it all. How many believes that you can stand a little more power? How many believes you can stand the river flowing a little harder? Oh, we can. And us can do it. One will put 1,000 to flight, and 2 can put 10,000. So us is getting powerful when we get 2 of us. 2 together. 1 can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000. Boy, that's an upgrade, isn't it? Get yourself a prayer warrior. Get yourself that you can trust somebody that you can trust and say, let us. You know, Jesus said, come on, boys, let us go up to the mountain. Boy, when they got up on the mountain in the 17th chapter of Acts, didn't they have a time? God met them on the mountain. The former us crowd, Moses and Elias, was up there. And God was talking to them out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. When they went off that mountain, they had the brand new thing. Luke 16:16 said that the law and the prophets, word of John, since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. The message today is the kingdom of God. What is that kingdom of God? Matthew 6:33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Romans 14:17 said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, it is peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost, you should get the whole package on the inside. Righteousness, peace, and joy. I don't know anywhere you can get righteousness, peace, and joy except through this. You can't make peace for nothing. So we have to pray. Now let's go a little bit further. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge, verse 2, of God and Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. I preached on virtue the first night. Virtue. The prodigal son finally got a virtuous thought. And you know, the virtue said, go home. He hadn't thought of God, his father, in a long time. But that virtuous thought. The woman with the issue of blood, Mark chapter 5, she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, and I will be made whole. I will be made whole. She said, if I can touch him, she's eased through the crowd, touching, rubbing elbows with all kinds of people. But she had a virtuous thought. And when she got to him, she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus wheeled and said, who touched me? He said, you say, who touched me? Well, it's people touching you all around. But he said, I felt the virtue go out. When virtue touches Jesus Christ, when faith touches virtue, she can sit out there as long as she wants to, but that virtuous thought got her through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. How many have virtuous thoughts? Where do we have bad thoughts? I don't like him, and I don't like her. She don't look well. He don't look very good. They look like they're mad. Well, don't worry about it. Shout until they're glad. Man, the oil of gladness is good for those who's mad. You know, you get to pour out a little bit of oil of gladness, you know. Isaiah 61 said the oil of gladness. And that's what we need. We need some oil of gladness in the church today. How many's glad? You know, we used to sing a song. That's all it was to it. I'm so glad that I'm so glad that I'm so glad that I'm so glad. Hey, man, you know, we'd get that. We'd get glad because we say that I'm so glad that I'm glad. Somebody said, that's crazy, I know, but you have to have a little bit of insanity in this thing to go along with the other things that goes along. There's more insanity than that in this world. Now it says, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given to us. There we go. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of what? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Now here's your addition. Are we all doing that? Add to your faith what?
Virtue.
Virtue. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue knowledge. To knowledge temperance. The temperance, patience. And you can't, I've tried this, I've been preaching on this for 40 years. And I got some of the folks down up in Missouri where they're preaching on them now. It's took about 40 years to sink in on them. But they're preaching on it now. Yeah, virtue. Here we find this here. Partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now here's the way you do it. You can't add to your faith the other things before you add to virtue. Virtue is the purity of the thing and the power of it. It's what the woman, the virtue went out of Jesus to her, got healed. She got healed. It was a virtuous thought that sent the prodigal son home. You know, his virtuous thought was, I don't amount to anything. God, let me be a servant. And the father said, get the best robe. Get the ring. Get the shoes and put them on his feet. Didn't even act like he heard you. Somebody said, this is boring. It won't be boring when you get the water flowing. Hey, I'll tell you, it'll bring you into life. It'll bring you into the power of God. Now listen to what he said. And beside this, giving all the diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now I want you to notice, and to virtue. Now you don't add to your faith. You don't do that again. And to virtue, add knowledge. Now so you add knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. In other words, you'll never be temperate unless you get to this formula. This is the formula. I've tried it. It won't work. You got to add to knowledge, you got to add temperance. Tempers won't come till we got knowledge added to virtue. And virtue won't work until we add it to faith. How many got that? I was preaching at a convention in Arkansas here a couple of years ago. And they was up there, they was talking about this and particular thing. And I got up and I said, these these words I'm doing right now. And they said, my, you sure straightened us out on that. I didn't straighten them out. They've been talking about it. They've been reading it. They just wasn't working it just right. I mean, no, you got to get it just right. This book has to be followed to a T. It's not something that's optional. Somebody said, well, I don't know whether I need the Holy Ghost or not. It's not an option. It's a must. Somebody said, I don't know if I need to be born again or not. I just joined the church. Oh, that's not an option. You've got to be born again. Jesus said, in the third chapter of St. John, you must be born again. Now, that's not talking about the fleshly man. That's this inner man, this spirit man. Remember when Adam and Eve was in the garden and God said, the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. When you eat of that tree and they eat of that tree, their spirit died in. And that's why we have to be born again. The first man, Adam. Huh? The first man, Adam, was not like the second man, Adam. The second man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. The first man, Adam, was a fleshly body. So here we find it again here. Whereby are given to us exceeding great promises. And he said, beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. And it begins to start working. You know, a lot of folks don't have much temperance. And you have to go through this formula, really, to get it. And to temperance, patience. I'm going to get in some good stuff here on this in a minute. And to temperance, patience. Are you impatient? When you want something, you want it now. Sometimes, God, you know, there's a word called patience. And how do you get it? You add temperance to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. And to patience, here comes the big one, godliness. Now we've got Psalms 1 straightened out, haven't we? Blessed is the man who walketh not into counsel ungodly, or stand the way of the sinner, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the prosperity. Whatever you do, it prospers. You do this right. Blessed is the man that walketh not. In what? The counsel of who? The ungodly. We're either godly or we're ungodly. There is no in between. I've just searched that, and there is no place in the Bible that said you're halfway. You're half godly and half ungodly. No, we got to give up ungodliness before we can ever become godly. When we become a godly man or a godly woman. Godliness. You know, I've spent thousands and thousands of hours in this, searching out things that I've heard other preachers preach, and there's right on a whole bunch of them. And you know how I have to get myself straightened out as far as I am? I may have some wrong too. I don't know, but I hope I don't. But anyway, the only way is we've got to turn it over to the Lord and we've got to get rid of wrong. Huh? Now listen to what he said. For we are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, now here's what it is, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now what is it? What is it we're not supposed to love? Love not the what? World, neither the things that's in the world. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. That's what John said. I believe in John. He really had some good writings and everything. But remember in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, John was tacked off over in the island there of Patmos, and there he was, past 90 years old. But he had something to say, Revelation 1:10. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And you know, John wrote to seven churches and he gave them all instructions, but one thing he told all seven of them to do. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. Not this ear, it's the spiritual ear. that we hear from God. John said, I heard a voice behind me. And I said, the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God gave him the whole book of Revelation to write. And you know who he wrote them to? To us. You know who Peter's book is? To us. You know who we're going to have to preach to? Us. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge tempers, tempers patience, patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. That'll help, wouldn't it? And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things, now this is a positive, how many know, I want you to write this down. And if these things be in you, these things that you've added one to one, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that makes you become fruitful. How many believe the church ought to be fruitful?
Yes.
Well, how many believe we ought to be fruitful?
Yes.
He's looking for fruit. Some righteousness, peace, and joy, and love. Bear some fruit. That's what we're looking for. And you know, I've learned to examine the tree, see if it's got fruit on it. Just go a little further. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling. Now, this is a calling. How many remembers what was called to glory and to virtue? Make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, I want you, how many's with me? If you do these things, you shall never what? You won't fall. But you have to do these things. You know, when I run against a problem, I take 2 Peter and run all this out. And it tells me what the problem is, where the problem is, and how to solve the problem. But if I do these things, it says I'll never fall. That doesn't mean I can't get sin and fall. But if I do these things, when I get a problem, if I begin to add to my faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, if these things be in us and abound, they make me that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance, now listen to this, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that Peter, Paul, John wrote some powerful books for the church to abide by and for people that's in the church. And if they follow them formulas, things will go a whole lot better. It don't mean you won't have some problems. But it means your problem is solved if you follow through this formula. And it even goes further than that. It says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. How many folks do you know is really established in the present truth? How many know what the word established means? It means that you're solid established in the things of God. Established in the word truth.